blot out and wipe away mankind, whom I have created from the face of the ground, not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. Just thinking about this, I remember reading this years ago, and the thought came to my mind, and the thought was the universal consequences of man's sin. Because God said, not only am I going to destroy man because of the wickedness of man, but I'm going to destroy all the beasts. I'm going to destroy all the creeping things. I'm going to destroy all the birds of the air because of the wickedness of mankind. See, sin not only affects an individual, but sin affects a whole environment. And we see in verse number 8, thank God for verse number 8, but Noah found grace. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that Florence is an act of punishment. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, what the Word of God is saying, that if we track the pattern of God, God will only put up with wickedness. He will only put up with that for a certain amount of time. And when God gets ready to put an end to wickedness, he's going to put an end to wickedness. Now, we understand that God told Noah to prepare an ark. And we understand that God had Noah preach the same message for 120 years. It's going to rain. Get on the ark. And it's interesting when you think about how long God had Noah preach this message, because God said that he had limited, in one place in Scripture, he said he had limited man's days to 120 years. So what basically God is saying, that I'm going to have this man preach for a lifetime, so that everyone who would heed the warning will not be without an excuse that you didn't hear the warning, that I had this righteous man who found grace in the sight of God declare to his generation that it's going to rain. And just imagine, if you will, the people who watched Noah preparing a boat, preparing an ark for something that had never happened before. Just imagine the ridicule. Just imagine the scorn. Just imagine the jokes that the people were saying about this man building an ark, this man who made himself, if you will, a spectacle in some of the eyes of the people, because they said, look at this man. Here he is building something, and he's talking about rain, and that never happened. But God spoke to Noah, and God was gracious to Noah, and I'm thankful to the fact that Noah, he heard God and he obeyed God in spite of the obvious peer pressure that he had, in spite of everybody saying, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? What are you spending your hard labor telling people that there's an event that's coming and things haven't even changed? You know, we still, you know, we still living our lives. We're still going about our day-to-day routines, and we're, I got a son that's about to get married, and so-and-so has a daughter that's getting married, and you know, everything is going on fine. Just imagine in the first year, the 10th year, the 20th year of his preaching, the 70th year of his preaching, the 80th year. Man, you've been preaching that thing, and you've been building on that thing. What's really going on, Noah? Have you sought counseling? Maybe you didn't hear God right. Just imagine the things that Noah had to contend with in his generation. How he might have been ostracized after a while. Now look, Noah. Look, now it's been 100 years, and people are still talking about you. You know, but still, he was steadfast. He was steadfast, and he was doing what God told him to do. So in the 13th verse of the 6th chapter, God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for through men the land is filled with violence. And behold, I will destroy them and the land. So God is saying, I'm going to destroy man and I'm going to destroy the land. So this was the promise of God. Every word of God is true. I don't care how long it takes for the word of God to come to pass. Once God has declared something, it will definitely happen. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So we move to verse number 7, chapter number 7, and verse number 16. And for the sake of time, this is a pivotal verse, I believe, in our thought, the wrong side of the door. Verse 16 says, and they that entered male and female, I'm sorry, and they that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded Noah. So God commanded Noah to take in everything that he was supposed to take in into the ark, all the animals, right, male and female, right? And I like this part of that verse says, and the Lord shut him in and closed the door round about him. So God closed the door. God closed the door. Now, the entirety of humanity, after God shut that door, they found themselves on the wrong side of the door. The entire of all humanity. Huh? Now some would say, that doesn't sound like a loving God. That doesn't sound like a kind God to destroy millions of people, huh? They had 120 years to heed the message. It's going to rain. God is going to destroy the world. He's going to destroy everything that breathes unless you get into the ark that God had this man who found grace to build. God's faithful to his word. So in verse 23, God destroyed, blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the earth. Man and animals, and the creeping things, and the birds of the heavens were destroyed. They were blotted out from the land. Only Noah remained alive, and those who were with him in the ark. What was God saying to them? If you want to escape the wrath of God, Noah was telling his generation, if you want to escape the wrath and the event that, and the righteous, the holy justice of God, because mankind had earned the punishment that God meted out. He said, the only way that you're going to escape, you're going to have to get on this ark. The only way. Just imagine, if you will, when the waters were released. Just imagine, if you will, the sound of people who were close to the ark scurrying to the ark before the water reached the level that may have been above their head. I can imagine, if you will, just let your mind just travel, if you will, back there, and you imagine hearing footsteps and people panicking and people banging. Noah, let us in. Just imagine that, right? And Noah didn't open the door. Why? Because God closed it. Huh? When God closes the door, it's too late. You don't want to find yourselves on the wrong side of the door. A holy God, a loving God, a righteous God, a just God, a merciful God still closed the door. They were on the wrong side of the door because they didn't put faith in the message that God had that man declare. And they found themselves on the wrong side of the door. Where are you? What side of the door are you on? Or are you playing on the threshold? Are you playing on the threshold? Think you got time? The door is open, so I'm gonna step out for a while, but then I'm gonna step back in. Now we move to the words of Jesus in the 17th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 26. And Jesus is talking about his return. Jesus is talking about when the Son of Man is going to return. And he rehearses and recalls this biblical as well as historic fact of the flood. Right? Biblical and historic fact. All right? He says in verse 26 of the 17th chapter of Luke, "And just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the time of the Son of Man." Stuff's going to be happening. People are going to be going to work. People are going to be going to have a good time. People are going to be getting married. People are going to be having all types of things going on. And they think, "Oh, well, we done heard that. We done heard that the Lord's coming back. We done heard this and we done heard that, but ain't nothing happened." You know, they were saying that way, but when did Jesus die? Almost 2,000 years ago? What is it? It's 2018. That's over 2,000 years ago. Ain't nothing changed. Okay, all right. But here is the word of God. Here's the word of God. "And just as it were, in the days of Noah, so will it be." You see that? "In the time of the Son of Man." Verse 27, "People ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage right up to the day." Imagine the unfortunate person that was married on the day before the flood came. "But I'm just beginning my life." You had 120 years to heed the message. Huh? "But I'm just getting ready to sow some wild oats." No. You're getting ready to reap what you've sown. People ate, verse 27. They drank. They were chilling, if you allow me. They were kicking it. Huh? They were maxing and relaxing, weren't they? Having a good time. You know, they was rolling with so-and-so. "Where you going?" "Oh, I'm going here. I'm going there." Yeah. "Well, what are you saying? Are you saying I'm not supposed to enjoy life?" That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you just better make sure you're on the right side of the door. You better make sure that you get into the ark of safety. So people ate, verse 27, people ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage right up to the day when Noah went in to the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Imagine, you paid all that money for a wedding and woof, washed away. Imagine you done put all your hope in what the world was selling you, and you didn't want to take heed to the gospel message. Whoo, burned away, because it won't be water next time. They found themselves on the wrong side of the door, thinking they had time. Walk with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I believe God's trying to alert us. He's trying to alert us. Matthew 25, the wrong side of the door. That's not where you want to be. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the door. Because when God, yes, we glory and we praise God, that God, and we testify that God can open a door that no man can close. Yeah, we shout and we get the, but guess what? God can close a door that no man can open. Matthew chapter number 25. Then Jesus is talking. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Oh, verse number 1. I'm sorry. Matthew 25, verse number 1. Thank you. I got it, but I'd have to let you get it, huh? Amen. Matthew 25, verse number 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, thoughtless, without forethought, and 5 were wise, sensible, intelligent, prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with them, also with their lamps. So they had enough oil. They had oil in their lamps, and then they had some extra oil. And when, verse 5, when the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads. And they fell asleep because it was a while. But see, we have to understand, though it may look like it's a while, what we consider a while and what we consider a long time. I've been saved a long time. Okay. All right, make sure you stay on the right side of the door. Make sure you're sensible. Make sure you're prudent. Make sure that you don't tip out on the devil's territory and get caught out there. But the wise took flasks of oil along with them and also their lamps. So while the bridegroom lingered. And see, I believe the bridegroom is lingering. That's a part of the grace of God. I think because Scripture says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's the grace of God that is allowing still time to be used, so someone in this generation can be like, well, all of us can be in this generation like the one who found grace, like Noah, and we can declare that the Lord is soon to come. So we have the ministry now of reconciliation. So we should be able, since we found grace, because by grace are we saved through faith, right? So since we have found the grace of God and the grace of God led us to repentance, then we should be the ones who are gracious enough and appreciative enough to live our lives in such a manner that not only does our speech declare the good news of the gospel, but our life declares the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And we have a responsibility then to win as many people as we can into the kingdom of God. Our message is still that the Lord is soon to come, and he has made an ark. He has made an ark. The ark is the type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And we have to understand that we need to get as many people as we can to come into the ark of safety. We need to get as many people as we can to repent of their sins, to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, to be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, to make sure that they have their lamp trimmed and burning bright, because we see one day soon, right? Okay, so we have to make sure that we are like the five wise virgins, that we have our lamp trimmed, that we have to stay in constant communication with God. We have to walk circumspectly. We have to align ourselves according to the work of God, according to the word of God, to make sure that we have to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith, and make sure that we are walking in total agreement to the word of God. And it's only by his grace that he will allow us, even at our best efforts, because we all fall short, but thank God for the grace of God that we're aiming. Our goal is to be in right relationship with God. Yes, we fall short because we got to deal with this. We got to deal with this sinful flesh. But I'm glad that flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm glad that God has gifted us with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. He's given us the power to bring this body under subjection. So we have to be intelligent. We have to be prudent. Yes, all things might be lawful for me, but they're not expedient. I got to lay aside. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We got to run with patience this race that is set before us. Why? Because I'm looking unto him. Who you looking to? I'm looking to the author. I'm looking to the finisher. I'm looking to the sustainer. I'm looking to the perfecter of my faith, and that's none other than Jesus Christ. That's who I'm looking for. That's who I'm looking to please. That's who I want to hear say, well done. So I'm not going to be foolish, and I'm not going to say, well, I got a little time. I'm going to just do what I want to do. No, because no man knows the day. No man knows the hour when the Son of Man shall return. Son of Man is Jesus. No man knows when Jesus is going to return, but we know that he's coming back. Everything that God said is going to happen. And since the last days started, Joel prophesied about the last days, and it started when the church was started. So if that was the beginning of the last days, surely we are definitely in the last of the last days. We don't have time to be foolish. We don't have time to seek fame or fortune or notoriety. But what we have time to do is make our calling and election sure. We have to make sure that we're ready for the Lord's soon return. We got to be wise. We got to understand that we don't have as much time as we think we have. God could come at any moment. Everything is taking place that needs to take place. It is just the grace and the mercy of God that allows us extra time to get ourselves together, extra time to look into the mirror of God's holy and sacred word and see if there's any spots, see if there's any wrinkles, see if anything that is not like God in us. We got to be honest when we look into the mirror of God's word and say, yes, God, there's a spot in me, and I'm so glad that God has already put in his word, if we confess our sins, look at God. If we don't make it, it ain't God's fault. He's put everything in his word. He put everything in the plan of salvation. God wants us to make it. Sometimes I believe God wants us to make it better than we want to make it sometimes. Sometimes we let our human minds and our fleshly minds take the upper hand sometimes. But thank God, God allows us moments of spiritual sanity when we can come back to our right mind and come back to our right senses. We like, God, what was I thinking? God, forgive me. Woo! I'm glad. Repentance is in the foundation of the doctrine. What's doctrine? Teaching. It's in the foundation of the teaching of Jesus Christ. And all I got to do, all we have to do is sincerely repent. God, I'm sorry. I did it, and it was wrong. I thought it, and it was, he said, I know your thoughts are far off. I know you're up, I know you're down sitting, and you're uprising. God is acquainted with all of our ways, and he still loves us. God knows everything about us. The stuff we don't discuss with nobody, sometimes we're too ashamed to discuss it with God. You might as well tell him about it, because he already knows it anyway.
he said he desires truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part he shall make me to know wisdom. So just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee. So here I come again, God. O Lamb of God, I come. I ain't making no excuses. I ain't blaming nobody else, but it's me, God, that's standing in the need of prayer. And I'm glad, look at God. He knew that we would need prayer. So that, what did he do? In the 17th chapter of St. John, he prayed for us himself. Glory, hallelujah. So if anybody can get a prayer through, Jesus can get a prayer through. Woo, glory. I'm glad Jesus prayed for us. And Jesus could say, I know that God hears me. So if we want you talk about a prayer partner, we have a real prayer partner. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Where would we be without our intercessor, Jesus Christ? Glory. Excuse me, y'all. I don't know if you appreciate it like I do, but I've done some things that should have not, after I got saved, I've done some things that should have disqualified me, but thank God for the intercessor. Sit there and look all pious if you want to, but if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? I'm glad I got an intercessor. I'm glad I got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. Because I wouldn't let me into heaven. Glory, 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 glory. God, I'll praise you. Oh, yes, I will. I'll praise you. Because I know sometimes I ain't got it all together. I'll praise you. Yes, I will. I ain't too ashamed to praise you. I'll praise you. Because I ain't all that in a bag of chips. Yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. But I mess up sometimes. Glory, glory, oh God, just as holy as God is, just as righteous as he is, oh God, oh, where would we be without the mercy of God? Oh Lord, this is in my heart, y'all. It's in my heart, because I know what I deserve. But he has not rewarded us according to what we've earned. But it's unmerited favor. Stuff we didn't deserve. Glory. Where were we? The virgins, yeah, we're still dealing with the virgins, right? All right. Glory. Verse number 5. Oh yeah, they fell asleep. So the wise ones fell asleep and the foolish ones fell asleep. Oh, don't sleep on this though. Glory. Verse number 6. But at midnight, oh glory, there was a shout. Oh, behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet him. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord shall descend with a shout. Oh, yes, he will. And midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up. Everybody got up. Yeah, they got up. Yes, they did. Oh, yeah, you might wake up, but are you going to go up? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, I need to preach that. You might wake up, but are you going to get up? Oh, in that great getting up morning. Fare you well. That's the question. trust in there, all right? Oh, Lord. Then all those virgins got up. I'm almost to lose, believe it or not. Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Don't let your lamp, we'll get some sermons in here. Don't let your lamp go out. But the wise replied, there will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves. I'm sorry, I'm going to be stingy with this. Scripture says, save yourself from this untoward generation. All right. So they said, go and buy for yourselves. But, verse 10, but while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came. See, you can't miss this. You can't go on a spiritual sabbatical and say, I got a little time. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to let my hair down. And mess around. Okay. But while they were going away to buy, I'm questioning, where in the world did they go to buy it? I don't know. But while they were going away to buy, looking for God in all the wrong places. Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were prepared, wait a minute. I read somewhere Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So it makes me think that heaven is a place for prepared people. Okay, so that means while Jesus is preparing, then I got to be preparing to meet him, right? But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Don't be on the wrong side. See, when we get this, then we can go. Don't be on the wrong side of the door. The door was shut. Later, the other versions also came and said, Lord, open the door to us. But what was the reply? But he replied, I solemnly declare. Not am I just going to declare, but I'm going to solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Oh, God. You may be sitting in the building, but you might not be in the body. Don't settle for sitting in the building and not getting in the body. Glory, glory. Well, I come every week. Well, whoop-de-doo. But you have to come to a decision. One of these weeks, I'm not going to be satisfied with just being in the building. I got to get into the body. Huh? You can't join in. You got to be born in. Lord, have mercy. Watch, therefore, give strict attention and be cautious and active. You got to get up and do something about this. For you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. And you don't want to be caught on the wrong side of the door. One last scripture, then we can go, because I think we got enough to chew on this for a while. You got enough to make a decision. If you're on the wrong side of the door, you can change that before you leave here today. Listen. Don't you let pride sit you in the seat when the invitation has come. Don't you let pride sit you in your seat. If you know you've never repented of your sins, if you know you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you know you haven't been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, don't you let pride sit you in your seat, because you're on the wrong side of the door. God wants you to come into the right side of the door. John, St. John chapter 10, verse number 7. Verse number 7, St. John chapter 10. So Jesus said again, I love the words of Jesus. How about you? So Jesus, see, I'm not giving you something that I said. I ain't giving you something off the top of my head. This is the word of God. So Jesus said again, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that I myself am the door for the sheep. You see that? So you got to be on the right side of Jesus. Verse 8, all others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep
did not listen to and obey them. Verse 9, I am the door. There's a semicolon there, so that means you got to stop. Because that's the statement that he's making, and he wants us to consider that. I am the door. So what side of the door are you on? What side of Jesus are you on? You want to see Jesus as Savior. You don't want to see him as judge. Because if you see him as judge, you'd be on the wrong side of the door. So you need to see him now as Savior. He said, I am the door. So that ark was a type in the shadow in Noah's day of Jesus Christ, the ark of safety. Jesus said, I'm the door. The sheep come in through me. I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved. You see that? Will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. You'll find nourishment. You'll find everything that you need, but you must come in at the door. You got to come in at the door. And don't be on the wrong side of the door. Because when the door is closed, you're going to get in your car, drive down here, and we're going to be gone. You're going to go to Fuego, and won't be nobody there but the dog. You're going to go to Oak Knoll. You're going to go to San Antonio. You're going to go to whatever street you live on. You're going to go to Long Beach. We ain't going to be there. You're going to go to L.A., Compton. We ain't going to be there. Pasadena, Cerritos. We ain't going to be there. You're going to go to Commonwealth. We ain't going to be there. You're going to go to Palisades, Palms, Inglewood. We ain't going to be there. Why? Because we made sure that we're not on the wrong side of the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Now what you gonna do? He's knocking at somebody's heart. See, there's a door that you can open to Jesus to get into the door. It's the door of your heart. He says, behold, I'm standing at the door of your heart. I'm knocking. God's knocking. He's inviting somebody to come into the door. Are you here this morning? Are you here? You need to come. You need to come. I don't care who you came with. I don't care who you wrote with. I don't care who invited you. If you know that you're on the wrong side of the door, you haven't received biblical salvation, you need to repent. You need to come. We got water. We will baptize you in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the removing of your sins. God has promised to give you the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're here this morning, Jesus said you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. That's the biblical new birth experience. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. If you haven't had that experience yet, you're still on the wrong side of the door. But the door hasn't been closed yet. You can come. Will you come? Are you here? Are you here? I think we said enough to convince you. So we're not going to belabor the point. We're just going to invite you to come now. Will you come? For those of you who are watching by live stream, we are the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church located in the city of Los Angeles, California. We thank you for tuning in to our broadcast. We hope that something was shared through our worship service and through the delivery of the word that will encourage you that if you are still on the wrong side of the door, you can escape while there's time. You can escape because the wrath of God is to come. I'm not saying this to scare you or frighten you. I'm saying this to enlighten you and to make you aware that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you can't miss both of them. You're going to wind up somewhere. Make your calling and election sure. Find a church where you are. You may not be in our city, but find a church where you are. that believes in the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God. Find a church where you can get baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And God will fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Find a Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church and get into the kingdom of God. You can't join. It's not by you going and shaking some preacher's hand or putting your name on a piece of paper. You can't join the kingdom of God. You got to be born in. Jesus told Nicodemus, very religious man, very devout Jew, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. If we live and the Lord will, we'll see you Wednesday, either at noon for our Facebook Live Bible class or at 7 for our live stream Bible class. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer in Jesus' name. If you're in the sanctuary, hear me clearly. If you're in the sanctuary and you know you need prayer for any reason, don't look around, don't think about it. Come on, get some prayer. Come on. You know you need it and prayer won't hurt you. Come on. It's about you and God. It ain't about you and nobody else. It's about you and God. Come on. Come on. Prayer will help you. And whatever you're asking God for, according to His word, believe it and you shall receive it. According to God's word. It's according to your faith. Be it unto you. According to your faith.
A wretch like me, I once was lost,
but now
I'm found.
Was
blind.
But
now I see.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear?
Was grace that taught my heart to fear?
And grace my fears relieved.
And grace my fears.
How precious did that grace appear?
How precious did that grace appear?
The hour I first believed.
The hour I
when we've been there 10,000 years.
When we've been there 10,000 years.
Bright shining as the sun.
Bright shining as the sun.
Less days to sing God's praise.
We know less days to sing God's praise
than when we first begun.
Than when we first begun.
And the first verse, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Thank you, Lord.
That saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.